ただわきんなじばんてバスタラきんなスワリアンテュタナカダンティナメハンティキングラメパシャボパレパレタラバキンナジバンティバスタラキンナスワサンチュタナカランティナメハンティキングラメパシャボパレタラバキンナジバンティバスタラキンナイヴシュワサンチュタナカランティナメハンティキングラメパシャボパレタラワキンナジヴァンティバスタラキンナスヴァサンティユタナカダンティナメハンティキングラメパシャボパレ
タラバキムナジヴァンティ
バスタラキムナスワサンユタ
バスタラキムナスワサンユタ
カダンティナメハンティ
ナカダンティナメハンティ
キングラメパシャボパリ
キングラメパシャボパリ
I suggest, because we are a little short in time and have two speakers, that we immediately go to the translation and all. Tadava, the trees. Kim, weather. Na, do not. Jivanti, live. Bastraha, bellows. Kim, weather. Na, do not. Shvasanti, breathe. Uta, also. Na, do not. Kadanti, eat. Na, do not. Mehanti, discharge. Semen. Kim, weather. Grame, in the locality. Pashava, beastly living being. Apare, others. Translation. Do the trees not live? Do the bellows of the blacksmith not breathe? All around us, look, do the bees not eat and discharge semen? Purport. Actually, Maharaj, would you like to read the purport?
Shall I read the purport?
I think it's nice if we have a joint effort.
Maybe I read half the purport?
Okay.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The materialistic man of the modern age will argue that life, or part of it, is never meant for discussion of theosophical or theological arguments. Life is meant for the maximum duration of existence for eating. drinking, sexual intercourse, making merry, and enjoying life. The modern man wants to live forever by the advancement of material science. And there are many foolish theories for prolonging life to the maximum duration. But the Srimad Bhagavatam affirms that life is not meant for so-called economic development or advancement of materialistic science, for the hedonistic philosophy of eating, mating, drinking, and merrymaking. Life is solely meant for tapasya, for purifying existence, so that one may enter into eternal life just after the end of the human form of life. The materialists want to prolong life as much as possible because they have no information of the next life. They want to get the maximum comforts of this present life because they think conclusively that there is no life after death. This ignorance about the eternity of the living being and the change of covering in the material world has played havoc in the structure of modern human society. Consequently, there are many problems multiplied by various plans of modernized man.
The plans. Yeah. The plans for solving the problems of society have only aggravated the troubles. Even if it is possible to prolong life more than 100 years, its advancement of human civilization does not necessarily follow. The Bhagavatam says that certain trees live for hundreds and thousands of years. At Vrindavan, there is a tamarind tree, the place is known as Imlital, which is said to have existed since the time of Lord Krishna. And in the Calcutta Botanical Garden, there is a banyan tree, said to be older than 500 years, and there are many such trees all over the world. Swami Shankaracharya lived only 32 years, and Lord Chaitanya lived 48 years. Does it mean that the prolonged life of the above-mentioned trees are more important than Shankara or Chaitanya? No. Prolonged life without spiritual value is not very important. One may doubt that trees have life because they do not breathe, but modern scientists... Thank you. Very nice morning surprise. So one may doubt that trees have life because they do not breathe. But modern scientists, like Bose, have already proved that there is life in plants. So breathing is no sign of actual life. The Bhagavatam says that the bellows of the blacksmith breathes very soundly, but that does not mean that the bellows has life. The materialist will argue that life in the trees and life in the man cannot be compared, because the tree cannot enjoy life by eating palatable dishes or by enjoying sexual intercourse. In reply to this, the Bhagavatam asks whether other animals like the dogs and hawks living in the same village with human beings do not eat and enjoy sexual life. The specific utterance of Srimad Bhagavatam in regard to other animals means that persons who are simply engaged in planning a better type of animal life consisting of eating, breathing, and mating are also animals in the shape of human beings. A society of such polished animals cannot benefit suffering humanity. For an animal can easily harm another animal, but rarely do good. Hare Krishna, I wish to welcome you to this class of the two of us here. We hope to go up till 10 o'clock and not much longer. So I will have to discipline myself a little bit and stop in time to leave sufficient time. Because we have little time, I request all of you to concentrate very much, because we will not be able to elaborate each point as long as until they are clear for a slow audience. But we will go fast enough. Please, in other words, support us. Here the verse is a verse which is a little bit provocative to the materialistic understanding of life. The verse explains that eating and breathing is done by the trees and the bellows in the blacksmith. This cannot be the purpose of human life, to eat and just manage to live. This verse also attacks the answer of the materialist. Wait a minute, we don't just live and breathe and eat like the trees who eat through their roots and the blacksmith who breathe. We have one thing which is totally different from what an animal can do, or what these things can do. The trees and the bellows of the blacksmith. We are very special in that we have a lot of arrangement for romantic affairs between man and woman and sexual intercourse. But this verse says, no, animals do that also. They discharge their semen. There must be a special purpose of the human form of life. Now, I would like to take, and it is necessary to concentrate on this purpose of the human form of life. I would now like to take this principle that we as humans are meant to do something special and that we are meant to concentrate on this special thing into away from an abstract philosophical principle. I think this is a commonly agreed principle, and want to take this principle of concentration into this room of our Sangatan devotees. For Sangatan devotees to concentrate on their service is extremely important if they wish to become well situated and fulfilled in that service and be able to continue over a long stretch of time. There is actually a rule in this cosmic universe that wherever a person places his concentration, there and only there the results will come. I would like to explain this principle to you from cognitive psychology, and then I will go into a more spiritual approach to the subject matter of concentration. But because we are human beings and we work according to the influence of our minds, I think it is useful to hear this little example, which makes very clear that wherever you put your full concentration, that's where the results will come. There was once a New Yorker who hosted a guest from the desert. This guest was one of the Red Indians, the original civilization of America, and he invited his friend, with whom he had a friendship, to visit him in New York. They went, like everyone who comes for the first time to New York, to all the places of interest, Rockefeller Center maybe, and other such places, and they were walking and talking. the traffic was there was rush hour, and the traffic was in full bloom, if you can say like this. There were cars honking and tonking, wheels screeching, drivers cursing each other. Typical New York afternoon rush hour. It was loud. It was smelly. All of a sudden, the red Indian stopped and said, "Wait a minute. I hear a grasshopper singing." You know how grasshoppers sing? "I hear a grasshopper singing." A New Yorker said that that's impossible. First of all, it's too loud. And second of all, we have successfully terminated all life forms in New York except for human beings. There is no grasshopper, and even if there would be, you would not be able to hear. But the Red Indian, and please believe me, this is not a fictional story. It is apparently true. It's quoted in a book of psychology. He went over the street, two-lane or three-lane street, do not know how many lanes. The cars were really agitated. I mean, the drivers in the car, and the ordinary noise was there. He went on the other side of the street. There was a little show bush for show. He put his hand into the bush, and when the hand came out, there was a grasshopper sitting on the hand and singing. Red Indian again crossed the lane, and his New York friend said, "How could you hear this? It was so loud. There were cars honking and tonking and screeching, and the bremsen making noises, the drivers cursing each other. How could you hear in all this hellish noise a grasshopper singing?" And the man, his friend, answered him. He said, it's a matter of concentration. Where you put your concentration, that's where you get your result. I'm a nature man. I hear nature. Listen, I will show you something." Then he took out his purse. There were a few small coins. I believe American dollars have cents. Or pennies. Cents, yes. And he took a few of these small coins without anyone seeing. He didn't make a demonstration of it. He just let them fall on the ground. At that time, the cars were honking and tonking. The wheels were screeching. There was a hellish noise of traffic, and the drivers were cursing. But as soon as those coins hit the ground, there were about 10 or 12 and a half heads, that means children, turning around and noticing the noise of the coins. See, wherever the concentration is fixed, there you get your results. You people here in New York are fixed on the money, and that's why you take note of the money. Dear devotees, this is a cosmic principle. Where you can put your concentration, you get results. And where you put your full concentration, you get full results. Why is this so? The Katha Upanishad explains in a very clear verse, "Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman," says that amongst all those who are eternal, that's all of us, there is one supreme eternal God. Amongst all those who have chetana, who are full of consciousness, there is a supreme conscious entity. And this supreme conscious being
is engaged since time immemorial, a long, long time, to fulfill the desires of the innumerable many. So it is Krishna who is in the heart of every living entity, who is watching where do the desires of those living entities go. And once he sees the direction of the desires, he will become active to supply those desires, even if the desires are material, even if the desires are not really in the interest of the soul. Because this universe, you must know, is all about karma and karma, desires and the reaction to the fulfillment of desires. We learn by living our desires and seeing what comes out of it. That's our that's the pedagogical system of this material universe. When the Lord sees that a living entity turns his head away from material desires and desires spiritually, he becomes especially motivated to help the living entity, because now he knows it is in the good interest of the living beings. There's a very, very nice verse in the Bhagavatam which says that someone who turns his ear towards Krishna Katha, for him, Krishna in the heart becomes the most well-wishing friend. Krishna fulfills everyone's desire. But when he sees that a devotee makes, a soul makes that momentous decision to turn his mukha, his face, towards Krishna Katha, to hearing with interest about him, then Krishna feels, this is a momentous desire. I've been waiting for this so long. Now, if the devotee turns to Krishna by just hearing about him, Krishna becomes very interested in his life. But if the devotee, like it is narrated by Jagadananda Pandit, turns and not just listens to the talk about Krishna, but begins to pray, "Alas, alas, I have been a servant of Maya for so long. Krishna. Now I wish to serve Krishna." At that time, Krishna becomes very, very, very attentive and begins to help the soul to make advancement. What I have described here is a progression of concentration in spiritual life. I want to say it again. It's a progression. First, someone hears about Krishna from the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavatas, the speakers of Bhagavatam. But then a devotee begins to pray to Krishna when he makes further advancement, and he prays, "My Lord, I am your servant, but I have given this up. I want to serve you." Now, on Sankirtan, this principle is extremely important. If you start your Sankirtan career, you will do it because others have convinced you that this is a very nice service. But if you wish to stay on Sankirtan, you will start to pray to Krishna that, "Please allow me to be a servant in your divine mission of book distribution." Then you become, in other words, more concentrated. My dear devotees, I have a surprise for you. which I knew about it, but Ravindra Swarup Prabhu in a lecture in Goloka Dham expressed it very succinctly, and it somehow moved many in our congregations, and I think it will move also some of you. Krishna consciousness is not something which you add to your life, like you would add a certain hairstyle to your life, or a dressing style, or the vegetarian diet, maybe, which you would add to everything else you eat. My parents say, for instance, we are 5 days in a week, we are vegetarians. No, a Krishna consciousness is really a different sort of thing. You have to make it your life. Not that you add it to your life, but you have to make it your life. At that moment, when you begin to concentrate your energies profusely, at that time, you will get results in Krishna consciousness. You will get also some results if you are practicing Krishna consciousness like a religion, where you do everything else, and on Sunday there's a church day, and you, or on Christmas evening you sing, O du fröhliche, O du seelische, ja, 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 und so weiter. This is a spirit, this is a real life. Krishna consciousness is said to be beyond the svapna. Svapna means dream of material existence. And especially this principle of concentration and making Krishna consciousness your life becomes very, very unmistakably important when you go on Sankirtan. You know, when you practice Krishna, I also go on Sankirtan and here, take this. You will not distribute very many books. Only when you are really concentrated on this service will there be a result. Otherwise, it just doesn't happen. I'm a good example. You know, the Sankirtan devotees in Germany preach to me, our leaders have to go on Sankirtan. You have to also go on Sankirtan. And although I'm very fearful on the street, I decided to, yes, because they have said, and I don't want to be thrown out of Germany, I will go on Sankirtan. And there I was on the mental platform. It was cold. I do it every year, but I'm so unglorious that I don't even want to. But because I'm not really trained to concentrate my mind on this, I'm trained to concentrate my mind on other things in devotional service. It's very, very difficult to get through to the people. You must know there is a rule in communication, especially in preaching. What is in your heart, that will touch the heart of others. If you have nothing in your heart, only something in your mind, some duty, some this, it will not work. You can be in a temple and be on the mental platform and sweep the temple floor. But you just can't go on Sankirtan like this. It does not work. Sankirtan is really like... To go successfully on Sankirtan, you have to have a life's culture of concentration around you. You have to, read, you have to have your consciousness on the spiritual platform, you need to have good association with other devotees, not quarrels in your Sankirtan van, you need to eat prasadam, which is nicely offered, and which is, you can't eat too much, you can't eat kami food. Prabhupada knew about this, and he said to us, when he came to Germany, we would sometimes, the Sankirtan devotees ate sometimes kami bread, And Prabhupada heard about it, and he said, no, this must be stopped. We all know that food influences the mind. Then we said, what should we do? And Prabhupada said, take chapatis with you. So we had a whole stack of chapatis, cooked in the temple. Sankirtan, that's very important for a Sankirtan devotee to do, to know, is it is a matter of concentration. And concentration of the mind, this is a science, a yoga science, which Srila Prabhupada talks about in one of his purports in the Bhagavatam. I know that Ravindra Swaruparu quotes this very much. Where is this Dharma Projita? Where is this? Yes, it comes after Dharma Projita, isn't it? This rapt attention. Yeah. 341. I would like to read this to you. 1, 3. You will learn now something about the culture of concentration. 1, 3.
It's the last section.
Okay. Yeah, here it is. This is about rapt attention. Another word of rapt attention would be full concentration. Nobody can develop rapt attention who is not pure in his mind. Nobody can be pure in his mind who is not pure in his actions. And nobody can be pure in his actions if he is not pure in eating, sleeping, defense, and procreation. So this is a yoga science. You can't just say to a person who is impure, concentrate. When we give lectures, in the non-devotional audience, and they are so spaced out, I would get very, very, very temperamental, and I would say, why can't you concentrate, please? No lecturer says this today, so it is a good... You can't, and the answer is easy. If your mind is so much mixed up and turning around so many subjects which have their own dynamics, and it's very difficult, and your mind will remain agitated if your actions are not pure and concentrated. And how can your action be all right if you are just a sex monster and so on? Hare Krishna. Concentration, the art of concentration, has a lot to do with how you live your life. And as a Sankirtan devotee, it's very, very useful to understand that we practice a lifestyle which is favorable for the art of concentration. Whenever I hear such a lecture, I sometimes think, he's trying to fire us up now. What do you expect from these swamis? Let him talk. Let him talk, it will be over soon. But my dear devotees, it is so nice to be able to do something good for Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. Immediately, when you are able to do a nice service, with full concentration, there's so much blessing from Prabhupada and from Lord Krishna and from our own spiritual masters also. When these
spiritual personalities see that we become serious and concentrate ourselves on the order, then they will send us their powerful blessings. And blessings in spiritual life are often more important than one's own endeavors. Blessings are often the force which can carry us to do what we ordinarily would not be able to do. These blessings are extremely important, and they come the moment you become concentrated. We hear this in the life of Srila Prabhupada, who Ravindra Swarup also talked about this, but it's such a good point for the morning that I wish to repeat it again. Srila Prabhupada lived as a grihastha, and at that time, you must know, the Gaudiya Math was all managed by sannyasis and brahmacharis. Grihasthas were not given much importance. When Prabhupada preached in his grihastha days, as he had his pharmaceutical apotheker, he would, for instance, request some brahmacharis to come with him, because the society also thought only brahmacharis and sannyasis should or can talk about spiritual life. And although Prabhupada was a disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he asked often a brahmachari of his godbrothers to sit on an elevated seat while he sat down in the preaching program to play the madanga. Then the brahmachari would say something and then would turn over and said, I wish that Abe Bhabu, that was a respectful title, now talks. And then Prabhupada talked. Because you must know, the social system at that time was that much importance was given to brahmacharis and sannyasis, and no importance was given to preaching grihasthas. It was a social conditioning. So, Srila Bhakti, just before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left, Srila Prabhupada wrote him a letter. He said, your sannyasis and brahmacharis can do so much seva for you, Guru Maharaj, but I cannot do anything. What can I do? You please instruct me. And then then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote him this letter where he said, you are an intelligent man. You please spread this Krishna consciousness in the Western world. This will do good for you and others as well. And Prabhupada would say that he made this order his life's mission. That means his full concentration went there and only there. He described that he read a verse in the Bhagavad Gita which is about concentration. You all know it. Vyayasa yatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana. This is a familiar verse, I believe, in our circle. It means the devotees are fully concentrated, whereas those who are not devotees have a diversified intelligence. It's many branched, and therefore they don't get results in spiritual life. So I really don't have more time. I really would like to tell you stories and raise your interest and bring your fascination, but because the time is not there, I request your full concentration now. Please understand this principle in your life. Concentrate. And the best way to concentrate is if you find out what is the order, a divine order which is impregnated with spiritual potency, and then concentrate on that order and make that order your life and soul. Don't worry. you will have to practice a little bit. You will have to put the elements of a spiritual life culture intact so that the concentration comes voluntarily and freely and very easily without any extraneous endeavor. But if you do this, you will be very successful in your human form of life. My request to all of you is that you please think about how you can purify your actions a little bit more. What can you do in the next year that in your actions are more pure? Maybe you could become more a friend of the devotees, be more supportive to devotees, and so on, and put this in action. Huh? Or, and I also request you, what could you do to make your mind more pure? Huh? Maybe you need to read more. Maybe you need to pray more. Maybe you need to see a little bit about your eating habits. Maybe you're too voracious on the sweets, and so on. And you will see, if you watch your action and watch what goes in the mind, you will be able to concentrate. The concentration will flow very, very nicely into your life. And then you can place your concentration on your sankirtan and become a very, very successful sankirtan devotee. You will see this. You will see wonders in your life. I want to repeat this again because some of you were not yet concentrated. You will see wonders in your life if you practice an art of concentration, a lifestyle of concentration in your life. And once again, I'm not saying go on sankirtan and distribute many books. I'm saying in order to do this, you need to concentrate on the service. And if you wish to concentrate on your service, then you need to practice pure actions in devotional service, pure and have a pure mind culture. Those of you who like to read, I think that's everyone, but those who want to read something about the art of concentration, please go to the first canto of the Bhagavatam, third chapter, verse 24. And if you also wish to read more on concentration, on Ekeha Kurunandana Ekena Manasa, you please read in the first canto, chapter 2, text 14. There's a very beautiful verse about which I also wanted to talk, but time does not permit. My dear devotees, I'm at the stage of my life, I'm now over 50, that's usually when old cars go into repair. I had said in my spiritual life that when I turn 50, I will review my life, see how it was, if it was good so far, and then I will change my life and make it better. This was my determination when I started to think in Krishna consciousness. That was not in the early days, but a little later. I joined so young, I couldn't think very well. Now I turned 50 last year, and I had seen something serious needed to be done. The movement is at this present state not where Prabhupada wished it to be. My own spiritual advancement is not where I wish it to be. What to do now? And by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Vaishnavas with whom I have talked about this, this point came out that it's a matter now of concentrating, and if you wish to concentrate, you need to live in a culture, a life's culture. You need to live in such a way that it's easy to concentrate. I want to beg all of you, Germany And we have actually an international gathering of Vaishnavas. Let us say Europe. We can say the whole world. We can actually say the whole universe need Krishna consciousness very much. And there are very good indications that now spirituality is very much in. Even Madonna, it's a pop singer, is practicing spiritual life and is very determined. You can talk to everyone now about spirituality, and everyone nods their head. Yeah, that's very important that they have understood. It's in, so to say. It's a very favorable time, in other words, to spread Krishna consciousness. But it will only be done by those devotees who learn the art of concentration on a divine order which comes from above and which is imbued with blessings. Please, no one of you should be left out from a satisfied life of Krishna consciousness where you have learned the art of full concentration on your mission which is connected with the Lord through the spiritual master. Thank you very much for giving this some of your concentration. Actually, you're very, very, very good audience. We will turn you over now to a much more qualified speaker, His Holiness Bhakti Vaibhava Maharaj. We are brothers in spirit. Maharaj is my superior in many ways, and I'm now very enthusiastic to hear him. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sisi go nitai ki, Gaur prema nandi hari hari bol.